Thank you for joining the Home Church Podcast. For more information about Home Church, visit us at myhomechurch.org.
Amen. It's been a while since I've been up here, and I'm really, I'm excited. I felt like I didn't have the big picture of why the Lord wanted me to speak this until worship. And now it's very clear to me. I can understand why. I thought it was kind of dealing with some small things. I always think, pastorally, typically, about like our community. And I don't know, I just didn't think. I said, I'm not sure how this will connect with people right now, knowing a lot of your stories. But now I understand what the Lord was getting to when the word came forth. So we're going to start by going to Philippians 2. If you just open to Philippians 2. There are so many new people here. Amen. Yes. I want to encourage those of you who are new and may not have heard us speak on this before. If you have never gone to church, that it's important for you to get a Bible and to bring your Bible and to open your Bible to make sure that what the preacher is speaking is in the Bible. Amen? and also so you could follow along. You should read your Bible every day so that you know who the God you serve is. Amen? Simple. I know it sounds so elementary, but the truth is, it's easy to lose track of that. So I'm just here to remind you. Amen? So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your anointing on this meeting, on the gathering of your people. I pray, oh God, that there would be deliverance here this morning, that there would be healing this morning, that there would be fresh yeses, fresh sacrifice. A laying down of our lives today. Holy Spirit, would you lead us into the new life that you have for us? Would you lead us into all that you died for us to have, God? Would you cause this community to be a light in the darkness, Lord? In Jesus' name. All right, ready? We're going to pray together. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see your word. Lord, open my ears to hear your word. Lord, open my heart to receive your word. Lord, open my heart to receive your word. Jesus' name, amen. Man, I love this place, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the call of God to this city. And sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day and the mundane and the different seasons that we can forget what a privilege it is to have a place that God has called us to minister in, right? Because we're all missionaries, yeah? We're here to advance the kingdom in this city, in wherever you have access to, you're called to advance the kingdom in, right? But particularly us gathering here, us doing life together, we host a special glory that when, and the truth is that people come in and they experience it. They experience the love. They experience the power of the Holy Spirit. They experience care, and they testify to that. And that's because God is forming us into his image and likeness. Yes? Amen. So the Lord had me, I was praying, asking him what he wanted me to speak on, and it was between two subjects, suffering and selfishness. Say amen. Everyone just took a deep breath. I said, okay, I'm going to go with selflessness or selfishness. Yeah, that I would encourage us to become more selfless. And when the Lord led me to the passage, I realized how intertwined these two things actually were and that I'm speaking on both of them this morning. Amen. So, I'll just give you a little bit of an introduction to what we're going to read in Philippians 2. Paul is in jail in Rome, and he's writing to the church in Philippi, who is also suffering persecution. And he's calling for the church to come into unity because there's cracks in the community. And if not dealt with the cracks, they would be unable to shine the light of Christ, to be the right testimony of Christ to those who are outside coming in to persecute them. So there's two things at stake: their own lives in Christ and the testimony of Christ. And Paul urges them to come together in unity, but there's something that's hindering this unity. And there's nothing more dangerous, nothing more destructive, and nothing more counter to the spirit of Christ than what Paul is going to address. And it's the spirit of selfishness. Paul's correction to the church in Philippi is what we're going to be speaking about today. It was correction and encouragement. So say amen. Because God, he's a good father, right? And he disciplines those he loves. And a lot of times, because of our earthly fathers, we think that discipline is like this harsh spanking, right? And this yelling. But God is leading us. He's discipling. He's teaching us how to look more like him when he's correcting us, right? He's saying, nope, nope, not that way, not that way. Come this way. And ultimately, it's so that we can live life and life abundantly and keep us on the straight and narrow so we can maximize our lives in Christ, right? And it's also ultimately for the glory of God. So let's start in I'm going to read 1 through 11 first, and then I'm going to kind of break it down for us, okay? So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition and conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Paul preached it better than I probably will, but that's okay. Let's break it down a little bit. So Paul's call to unity is powered by the Holy Spirit, following the example of Christ, by way of thinking and by way of emotional life, all leading to action. So the goal of Paul's correction was so that in a wicked generation, the church would shine. Ultimately, in verse 14, he says, I want this to be how you act and who you are so that in a wicked generation you will shine. So there is something that causes us not to shine to those who are lost in a wicked generation when we continue in a selfish spirit. When we continue, the word conceit is vainglory. When we continue to seek glory for ourselves. Yeah? So let's read verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but all the interests of others. Selfish ambition concerns the sin of pride, self-centeredness, self-preservation, which is one that the Lord really highlighted to me, is self-preservation, jealousy, and envy. And the reason why it's so dangerous to the church is because it's completely counter to the spirit of Christ. In the world, we think of freedom as we can seek our own will. If the more that people are out of our way to seek our own will, the more free we are. But in Christ, freedom is the ability to serve others and imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not self-seeking. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And the truth is, today we have a real issue in the church in general, specifically in America, with, and I grew up with under this message too, is self-messages. So the gospel revolves around us, right? The gospel revolves around our calling, even within the church. A lot of times it's all about us, our call, what God wants to do with our lives, yeah? And that's the message that I grew up under. It was all about, you know, and we have like celebrity pastors and we have social media influencers, these Christian people, and this is not the way of God to elevate our own status, to seek vain glory. The ways of Christ is to lay down your lives for others, to elevate others. And if our thought life is constantly seeking our own good, we really have to stop and pause and say, hey, even if it's a religious thought, religious patterns, trying to do something religious for God, if it's not in consideration of lifting up others, we are seeking vain glory. We are under a selfish spirit. And we need to just pause and correct that this morning, if that's the case. And there's some other things too that I want to touch, because that might not be you, and that's okay. But I remember hearing this hysterical podcast, if you know Corey Russell and Billy Humphrey. It's an awesome podcast about the prayer movement in America. And I just had to really check myself, and I've told this story to a few people, but Corey Russell, he joked that as a young Christian, he would dream of revival. He would intercede for hours for it, and the Lord showed him one day that every time he dreamed of revival, he would be the center of that revival. All of his thoughts centered around him being the center of that revival. And the Lord corrected him and said in his daydreams and in his desire, he was the center, and he had exalted himself. His desires involved God, but God was not the center of those desires. And God corrected him and said, you'll be raising up intercessors and laying down your lives for them. And that's exactly what he does now. And he has such a reach, and he has been elevated to a particular status, but it's not because he went chasing after his own goals and dreams. It's because he laid down his life. And the Lord corrected him from a young age. And that might be some of you. We're going to touch some other stuff. But if that is you, I just wanted to pray for you right now, because I remember when I heard that, I had to like stop and yes, are we concerned about our own life? Of course. But ultimately, we need to be more concerned with what God's plan is and what God's will is and what God is doing on the earth. And God needs to be the center of our mental activity as we're daydreaming about these things, as we're walking out our call in Christ. It cannot be about us. It needs to be about him and what he wants to accomplish. Amen? Okay. So I'm just going to pray for those of you who feel like you need breakthrough in that. So Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that those who have a particular call, especially in ministry, oh God, that you would break any selfish thought patterns, Lord God, self-centeredness, in the name of Jesus, that it would be about you, Lord God, that it wouldn't be about them, that they would have the ability to be less and less and to elevate your status and to lift up others, oh God. I pray that they would imitate you, God, in their minds, that they would imitate you in their actions, that they would imitate you in their ministry and in their daydreaming, Lord God, that it would be just as you did, laying down your life for the benefit of others. Break it off in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we're to consider others more important than ourselves. And this is another thing that the Lord really highlighted to me, is that this can be a trigger and quite difficult for people who have had traumatic childhoods, who have suffered abuse, or who are currently wounded. Because you may be in a cycle of self-preservation. Does that make sense? However, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to tend to our wound, we freeze our ability to image Christ, and we're trying to take back control so that we don't get hurt again. Yes? I feel like the Lord was really, really ministering this to me, is that a lot of us have fallen into selfish cycles or have never actually in Christ been out of a selfish thought pattern cycle, because you may have felt abandoned, or you may have felt rejected by your parents. And because of that, it's very scary for you to consider others more important than yourself, because nobody considered you to be important. Amen. Amen? But I want to tell you that the Lord wants you to receive healing in that. And he wants you to repent of your selfishness so that you can image Christ, because at the core, those things are still controlling you if you're not laying down your life for others. Amen? So we stop and we confess our sins of selfishness and ask the Holy Spirit to help heal our wounds. And the truth is, you'll probably have to work deeply through forgiveness as well with the Lord, or with somebody else, if you need to confess forgiveness. If you say to yourself, I've already forgiven them, but you find yourself in self-preserving cycles, I encourage you to sit with somebody that you trust and talk, and have them pray for you and pray for yourself in that. Amen? Sometimes we have an easier time being selfless with those who are lost, instead of realizing that the church is the place more than anywhere this selfless life is meant to be lived out. This was the very correction that Paul was bringing. Do not be selfish or have vain ambition within the church with each other. Right? I have seen it, I have experienced it, that I can sometimes be more compassionate, more giving of grace, more merciful to those who are outside of the church. Yet God says they will know them by the way they love one another, right? And I really felt like the reason why is because when we're wounded in this way and we come into a gathering in this way, and we have not addressed, and we're walking in unforgiveness and bitterness, we have not addressed our heart with the Lord yet, we put the expectations of what God is supposed to be doing in our lives on others who we know Christ, and when all of a sudden they're wounded too and they snap back at us, now we want to destroy them. Instead of following Christ ourselves, we're demanding that people treat us as Christ, and that is, we're worshiping them. You're responsible for you, right? Paul will go on to say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When we constantly respond back to one another the way somebody has responded to us, we give them the power over us. But who is meant to be our Lord? Jesus. We're meant to follow Christ in those moments. We're meant to give mercy in those moments. We're meant to give grace in those moments. And the truth is, it doesn't matter. Jesus, it didn't matter who was around him, who came to him, who offended him. He stayed committed to his identity and who he was. And if you want to be a follower of Christ, if you're truly saying, I lay my life down to you, it doesn't matter who's doing what to you. What comes out of you is because of who you're worshiping, who you're following, right? So you gotta just unhook yourself, because the truth is, in community, there is a lot of brokenness. In deep, intimate relationships, you're gonna get the biting and the nipping and the, right? In friendship, Joe. We nip at each other. We forgive each other, though. But really, the truth is that mercy and that grace, this is meant to be a supernatural community, right? But if you come in here demanding that people treat you supernaturally, yet you're not imaging Christ, the problem isn't everybody around you, it's you. And God is calling you today to repent of selfishness. And when I say you, I mean us. I mean us, for real, because, I mean, it's not easy when we, and we're going to go into this, when we forget about beholding the Lord and when we don't address our wounds. If we walk around wounded and just say this is how it's going to be, if we never address those things, we're going to stay in this state, in a selfish state. And I felt a warning from God saying, don't let the cracks continue. We have to address these things. Amen? So do you think primarily about yourself? This whole thing doesn't mean that you're not going to have self-concerns. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to clothe yourself, you have to carry about innumerable responsibilities, you have to work faithfully to fulfill God's purpose in your life. But the motivation and emphasis must come down to seeking the good of others. Our emphasis cannot rest on ourselves. It has to reach beyond there. And are you afraid of thinking about others that it will cause you to miss out on what's yours? I'm going to read that again. Are you afraid about thinking about others that it will cause you to miss out on what's yours? That's an orphan spirit. And that has no place in the church. Are you afraid? Do you celebrate when others succeed in the kingdom? If not, if you have jealousy all of a sudden, it's probably because you have an orphan spirit and you need some healing. And I know a guy. And so do you. But the truth is, you have to sit with him. And you have to cry out to him. And you have to confess to him. And you have to ask for forgiveness. And you have to forgive others. And you have to just rebuke all the lies. And you have to fill your mind with the truth. Amen? So we rebuke the orphan spirit off of this church in the name of Jesus, off of our lives in Jesus' name. We command it to leave and go in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you have delivered us from an orphan spirit, and we pray now that those who are still under it would be delivered right now in Jesus' name, again and again, especially if any agreements have been made again, Lord God, that you would touch it in Jesus' name. Amen. In humility, count others more important than you. And here's the key, and we're going to read it in verse 6 and through 8. The humility is to who? It's to the Father. It's to the Father. We have to humble ourselves to the Father's plan, to the Father's will. And Jesus is our example of that. He served others by being humble to the Father's plan, to the Father's will. Amen? So Jesus' entire ministry, his earthly ministry, was concerned for others because that is the will of the Father. Rather than building up our self-esteem by making others inferior or our own self-superior, which is the way of the natural world and the way that they think, we're called to reverse the way of the world. When this is done, natural egos are transcended and the community shines the light of Christ in a wicked generation. In Jesus' time, there were honor contests. They were major in the Roman society. And instead of the honor contests, Jesus continually chose humility, and it was counter to the cultural norm, right? So when you think you need to get into honor contests with people to make yourself important, remember Christ. If your thought patterns, and some, honestly, I'm just going to be real, sometimes you don't even know. And I know this because I became aware of this 2 years ago when I thought, oh, I dealt with all my pride. I'm good. And the Lord was like, no, no, no. If you're speaking to somebody and you think that what you have spoken causes you to be superior or inferior, you have an issue with selfishness. Should I say that again? If you are speaking to anyone and what you're saying, what's coming out of your mouth is causing you in your mind to feel superior or inferior to people, you have an issue with selfishness. Yes? You have an issue ultimately with identity, right? And it's causing you to put all of this attention on yourself. Rather than receiving your identity from the Father, rather than receiving your worth from Christ and what he did for you, you're having to figure out ways to elevate yourself above other people. And that's bondage. That's not freedom. That is true bondage. We want to get rid of that in Jesus' name. So this is not mere people-pleasing, because at the core, people-pleasing is selfish. It expects the affection of the person that it's serving. This is serving with the ultimate goal to imitate Christ. And if you consider yourself a Christian, this is imperative to shift your heart and thinking. It has to take place. This is what it means to make Jesus Lord. So I want to show you the motivation and the invitation is in Jesus. Verse 5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Before I go into this, I just want to connect this back to the word. I'm sorry. The word in tongues interpretation. The Lord has a call over our house in this city, and every single one of us has a role to play, right? Every single one of us has influence in our, and it's not just, again, this city, it's over the whole world. Wherever you have reach, that's the truth, is the Lord is calling us to advance the kingdom. And when we forget that ultimately we're here to advance God's will and not our own, we become self-centered. And I really feel like that was a big part of what God was like pulling out in the word, is that we can become complacent and forget that we're here to do the will of the Father. And we get so bogged down by everything around our lives, and we're trying to fix these things that are falling apart. And meanwhile, God's saying, I've already told you what to do. And I've often found when I get into those places, when I just start doing the things that I used to do, when I return back to the works that I did in the beginning, that all of a sudden everything else is so minute. Everything else falls away. All of the pains in my heart and the things that I've had going on, they shrink. Even though those things might still be going on, even though those people still might be hurting you, they still might not recognize what they're doing to you, they become less and less. And the ability to image Christ to those people and in those places becomes more and more because you're doing the will of the Father. Amen? Okay, so have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Share the mind. Share in the mind that agrees that considering others as more important than yourselves. Share in this mind that agrees that considering others as more important than yourself. That's Christ's mind. Have the same mind or attitude. What kind of mind? 6-7. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So we need to have an attitude of continually emptying ourselves. Following Christ means giving up glory and humbling ourselves for serving others. Jesus had a total and complete outgoing spirit. He had humble concern for others. There was not a moment where Jesus was concerned about himself, but only concerned about the will of the Father. And obviously, we're not going to be perfect, but we need to pursue this in our mindsets. We need to know that when we are having selfish, like it's overtaking us, that this is not okay and this is not right. Yeah? Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In its context, this means that Jesus did not call the shots about his life. Don't ask me how that works. I have no clue. Scholars like write books about this passage and fight like they've been fighting forever. However, here's what we know is that Jesus did not, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his rights. He laid down his rights. He did not call the shots about his life. He submitted his physical body to the direction of the Father. Yes? When we use our will to sow in the flesh, in this physical body, in selfishness, and ignore the direction of God over our own life, we're grasping for equality with God. We are stepping in the place that he occupies as Lord of our lives. Not even Jesus himself did that. Does that make sense to you? Let me read that again. When we are making decisions in our own flesh, in selfishness, and ignore the direction of God over our own life, we're grasping for equality with God. We're stepping in the place that he occupies as Lord of our lives. Not even Jesus did this for himself. His identity as God did not excuse him from the suffering and obedience that the Father directed him to endure. Likewise, the fact that we are all royalty and belong to Jesus doesn't mean that he won't ask us to absorb and endure suffering. Because a big part of selflessness is that you're going to endure suffering, right? A big part of considering others as more important than yourself is that who's going to care about me? And the truth is, God will care about you. God will take care of you. God will heal you. God will touch you. God will comfort you. These are things that typically the world looks for in one another, and they destroy each other. And this is exactly what Paul was coming against. You don't need to do that to one another because you have God. Amen? So Jesus' identity, it didn't keep him from those things. His identity was what actually uniquely qualified him for the vocation of suffering. So the concern, this was awesome, from Gordon Fee. Thus, the concern is with divine selflessness. God is not acquisitive, being grasping and seizing, but self-giving for the sake of others. So God is not walking around saying, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, I'm taking that. He's actually giving himself up for the sake of others. And we need to have the same attitude as the church. We need to have the same selflessness as the church in this community. Amen? I feel to say this right now, too. So if you're coming in and you're saying, demanding those things, I just want to pray for you right now. I really feel that. Because, yes, should the church be the light? Yes. However, if you're a Christ follower, he must be your light. Yes? So I just sense, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to touch you if you are feeling like that. If you're bitter towards the church, if you're bitter towards people in this room because they haven't done what you think they should do for you and to you, I feel like I should pray for you right now. So Lord, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would flow through this room right now in Jesus' name, and that you would touch those who have bitterness and resentment for what they think that people should have treated them as in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be their comfort, oh God, that you would show them how to be Christ-like in this, that they wouldn't give to get, Lord God, but that they would truly give to glorify you, to lift you up, oh God, because you are worthy of it, Lord God. I pray right now that forgiveness would flow, that grace and mercy would flow in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that those who want to follow you will follow in your footsteps. They will give mercy. They will give mercy. They will give grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility is the key to selflessness. Obedience is the key to selflessness. Obedience to the will of the Father above everything else. Jesus allowed himself to be humiliated on the cross for the glory of God and for the will of the Father, for those who were his enemies even. If your theology in any way causes you to act selfishly, then you need to pause and reevaluate what you understand. Because again, freedom in Christ is freedom to serve others, freedom to love others. And our lives are meant to be small pictures of the Savior who suffered for the sake of others. We give our lives as living sacrifices. That doesn't just mean this overarching story. That means in every single moment. In every moment, we have the ability to lay our lives down for the benefit of somebody else. In every conversation, when somebody is walking through something and they give you an attitude, when someone didn't call you and they said that they were going to call you, you can control your mindset to lead in compassion, in consideration to others, rather than first start with you and all the things that you're offended with and all the things that have happened to you. Does this make sense? It's a better way to live. It's a happier way to live. It's a happier way to live, to be satisfied in Christ, to allow God to give you everything that you need, to really behold his glory, to allow him to touch your wounds, and then to be able to give to everybody else. Because the truth is, you're never going to get what you're looking for if you're looking for it outside from everybody else. Amen? And you're not going to have a lot of friends either, because you're going to try to destroy everybody. It's true. I you know what my favorite friends are? The ones who make me feel free. The ones who make me feel free from having to give them things. Those are the best, to just enjoy God together. That's the best. Be a good friend. Make people feel free. Make people feel lifted up and encouraged. Amen? All right. So, rapid fire, what time is it? Oh, wow. Okay. Worship went long. How to be selfless. These are just easy little things that I wrote down. Behold the Lord. It's just look at his wounds. Look at his, like, stop, and we're going to take communion. But this is the key. And every single time that I go into selfish, self-seeking, self-centeredness, all about my wounds, me, I, nobody cares about me. You stop and you behold what God has done for you. You stop and you think about the cross. You stop and you remember every testimony when he showed up. You stop when you remember in the middle of the night where you woke up and the Shekinah glory was hovering over you. You stop when you remember somebody came to your door and there was a check. You stop and you behold the Lord in your life. And suddenly you remember, and suddenly you forget about all those other things. Suddenly you want to follow him again. Because you were off. Suddenly you repent and say, what was I doing? What was I thinking? I want to follow you. I want to be like you. I want to be formed in your image. There is a call to personal responsibility too. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is very important for us. You need to be self-governed. You need to understand that nobody can choose God for you. Nobody can choose to worship God for you. It doesn't matter how good of a pastor anybody is, how good of a wife, how good of a husband, how good of a friend, you need to choose. Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to follow Jesus? We have to be self-governed in our worship of God to say, I choose to follow you no matter what, even if nobody else follows you. And then we're culture changers. I walk into a room and I don't care what anybody else is doing to me. I don't need anybody else to do anything to me. I come in and I say, I want to pour out love into this room. If Sally's like, I'm like, oh, Sally, come here. What's going on? Because it doesn't affect my worth. I don't start thinking about selfish things. I'm pouring out. Amen? There's no one named Sally here, right? If there is, I've stopped people. I rebuke you. my relationship with him trumps my relationship with anyone else, even myself. This is a matter to do and not to expect. And I just had a few scriptures. Galatians 5:15, be the last one to bite. It says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out. Be the last one to be bit. Don't bite. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will destroy one another or be destroyed by one another. So be the last one bit. What does that look like? You know what it looks like. Be the last one bit. Proverbs 15:1, give a gentle answer, because a gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 11:3, let it end with you. Gossip dies at a wise person's ears. Matthew 5:39, give them the other cheek. Give them the other cheek. Culture changers, not conformers. Christ died for us while we were sinners, not while we were doing the right thing. So follow his example when you're treated wrongly. Follow his example when people sin against you, even in the body of Christ. Follow his example. You are here to worship him, to spread the light of Christ in a wicked generation. Listen to the will of God through the word and the Holy Spirit. surrender and depend on the Holy Spirit, because he will give you strength to do that. Serve the body of Christ as you serve your own self. Sometimes, something that you're a part of, a lot of times, sorry, I skipped this, we're going back in. A lot of times in a church culture, one of the issues is intimacy, right? We are not intimate with one another, so we can't even serve one another. We can't even be selfless because we come in on Sunday and we leave, we take for us and we leave, right? How could the world see that we're loving one another if we don't even know one another, right? So I want to encourage you to make sure that you're not afraid of being intimate with people, that you're not self-preserving yourself in that, and that you're seeing the body of Christ as your family, because it is a family of God, right? It is the family. You've been adopted into a family. And when we gather, we feast together. And this is why when people who you discern, oh man, I miss that person, it's because this is like a family dinner. And we're here together, and we need to make sure that ultimately we're here understanding that this is our family. This is not a corporate exchange. This is not a business you come into. It's not a transaction. It's a family. Amen? So get intimate. If you don't know somebody, say hi. Don't wait for them to say hi to you. Would Jesus wait to say hi to you? No, he wouldn't say, I'm waiting for them to say hi to me. He goes first, right? So be like him. Go to them. Serve others and see God glorified, because the end result of all of this is the exaltation of Jesus Christ on the earth. Verse 9 through 11 says, therefore God exalted him. After he suffered, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And know, when you suffer, you will not be exalted to the highest place. When you suffer, Christ will be exalted to the highest place. And that's the whole point. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is ultimately why we need to lay down our selfishness and make sure that we're walking in selflessness, is that so Jesus Christ can be glorified, so that those who do not know him can come and say, huh, these people seem happy. They seem free. They're caring about each other. When somebody's nasty to them, they're not barking back. Oh man, I just saw Sally, Sasha. And Sasha, she just brushed it off. She didn't go talking and gossiping to everybody about it. She actually called Sarah and said, are you okay? These are real things. People see, people discern, people are watching you. They want to see Christ in you. And do you want to exemplify him? Do you want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a part of every knee and tongue confessing? Yes, you do, especially in this city. You follow Christ, it lives in you, that desire. And if you don't feel it fully, behold the Lord, and it's going to overtake you. Amen? Last point before we take communion. I was counseling somebody through something, and it hit me really hard what they said. They said, I didn't open my mouth, and it humiliated me. I was so humiliated. And it just touched me. I was like, wow, they literally suffered to the point of humiliation. And I think a lot of us will suffer to a certain point, but then when we feel humiliated, maybe even a group of people or something, that we feel like, no, this has crossed the line. But Jesus suffered to the point of humiliation. And that humiliation brought honor and glory to God. So I just want to encourage you that if you feel humiliated in doing this, that you're in good company with Jesus. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden now you need to step in and defend yourself. That very thing, that you being able to just show mercy, show grace, is the very thing that's going to cause people to bend their knee. Amen? All right, so we're going to...
We're so happy you could join us on the Home Church Podcast.
We pray this week's message encourages you to behold the Lord Jesus and bring his kingdom wherever you go. You can visit us online at myhomechurch.org, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or follow us on social media. If you would like to give to this ministry, text the amount to 84321. Bless you.